Let us pray while we're up. Lord, we thank thee, Father, for your grace and mercy, and we pray that as we open your word this evening, that you would, by your Spirit, apply the truth and to our hearts so that we might walk more closely with thee and love thee more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Find ourselves in Psalm 90, if you have your Bible. I'm sure this is very familiar to you, and I'd like to look primarily at verse number 12, but I'd like to read the whole Psalm. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God, the word of the Lord. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and saith, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. The reading of God's holy word. Amen. Psalm 90 is the only psalm attributed to Moses. In Psalm 90, Moses reminds us that God is our only resting place in every generation. He goes on to report the fact that our days are short and numbered. And finally, he pleads for, quote, the beauty of the Lord our God to be upon us and establish the work of our hands, verse 17. I'm sure you noticed the concept of time that's sprinkled throughout this whole psalm, just quickly, not to mention all the pieces, but words like verse 1, generations, or verse 4, 1,000 years, yesterday, a night watch, verse 5 and 6, in the morning, in the evening, verse 9, all of our years, all of our days. In the days of our lives are 60 or 70 or 80 or something. All time-related references. So when we reach verse 12, which is our verse for this evening, his prayer request, Moses' prayer request, is fashioned by the profundity of time as it relates to our spiritual development And you have to kind of pick that point up because that's laser sharp. You'll recall the wilderness wanderings no doubt made him abundantly sensitive to the concepts of finite versus the infinite, relating to space, temporal things with relationships to the eternal, relating to time. And it is communicated in this psalm relating to his principles of the self-existent God. And that's really the terminology that he uses when he begins the psalm, Lord, the idea of God's eternality, the fact that God is the forever God, the omnipotent one. But for now, I want to focus in on verse 12. So I'll reread that, which is part of his prayer. And Moses states, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You can see the time relationship in there. He's talking about numbering our days to a particular end. So days is, you know, a time reference. We often don't think of time in many ways, but this psalm really capitalizes on time. You know, I think Pastor mentioned it. I work in the healthcare industry with people as the pastor in the context of old. People are old, by the way. If you're 80, then you might start to become old. But if you're under 80 tonight, I don't consider you old. Now, everybody has their own definition. But I'm used to actually dealing with people that are really old, old, which is 80 and above. And people that don't respond, they're many times Alzheimer's patients. So for years, almost 40 years, I go into the same place. And for an Alzheimer's service, I do repetition. Like I'll do the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. And I'll do the same some of the same songs, main songs, with the gospel. That's how you do an Alzheimer's program because it's, you know, repetitious. They need to hear that again and again, and so do I in so many respects. Well, I'll never forget this time where I'm in this little unit week after week, month after month, year after year, roughly the same people. It takes about, when you're in the end stage, it might take about 2 to 3 years to die. It's a terrible disease, as you know. So I'm surrounded by mostly ladies. And I do songs, and they're all with their heads down generally, and nobody. I'm used to preaching to not with no response. So if you don't think you're really responsive tonight, I see your face. I'm used to like nothing, and I'm still the spirit. I really believe they're there, and I'm doing my job, giving them the gospel and loving them. And one song I would do every week, God will take care of you. You know the song, you know, be not dismayed. God will take care of you. Week after week, month after month, same ladies in this. So I'm on that song, not a word for months, years. And all of a sudden I say, God will take care of you. And this old lady, for the first time, lifts her up her head and says, when? And I almost dropped over. I thought nobody was listening. Nobody's been listening to me for years. And so I stopped the whole service and started to talk about this idea of time. And her question, evidently she's waiting and waiting. And it's a time question when she asks when. And the time is very real to all of us. We can have a time, a prayer time, so to speak, or your request might be related to time. And in some sense, all of our requests are within the realm of the finite with regard to the infinite. But you'll notice that his prayer is time related, but notice the nuance of the prayer. Verse number 12, he says, he's asking God to teach us. Here the term is not so much to instruct, because he can count. He can count 3, 4, 5 to number the days. He can count. It's not instruction he's asking for. It's the term yada. It's a broad Hebrew word. Has lots of colors to it. But I think that the idea here is that this word, he's saying, teach me to be aware. The word could be used to ascertain by seeing, or it could be used to for discernment. It's the prime root, yada, of to know. So when he says teach, that's the yada, that means to know. But it's particularly, it's used in a way to describe more than instruction. He's asking for the realization of a thing. That's different. That's very different. The word, it's used in Job 32. Notice how he uses it in Job 32. I'll read you just a section there. Elihu, the good guy, you know, one of the good guys out of the three. He's the good guy, Elihu. He says, I said days should speak, and multitude of years should yada. That's the word he's using here, Moses. And multitude of years should yada. It's translated teach wisdom. Here it's the word to know. In the case with the nuance to experience. So the prayer is, Lord, teach me, that is, to help me to know. Help me to be aware. Help me to sense the reality of a thing. Almost as if it's palpable. What does he want to be taught? That's the second point, verse 12. What does he want to experience in such a way so as to be able to experience it in reality, in a way that's just more than information? He says, teach me to do what? Verse 12, to number my days. That's something to do with time. Teach me to number my days. But remember, the word teach is to know. So you might, the meaning might be closer. Help me to know of, help me to be aware of the day. Help me to be aware of time. Help me to be aware of the flow of events that make up reality. That's really a different prayer than teach me to number my days. He's not saying I want to know if it's the 31st or the 24th. People don't, when you're with dying people, you know, they think, my nephew has a prison ministry, and he said to me, hey, Uncle Joe, he's assistant pastor somewhere, you know, a decent church, but it's, you know, it's some of the gospel there, but you know, today it's lots of different nuances, but he knows, you know, he's a Calvinist. But he's involved in other things. Nonetheless, he said, Uncle Joe, I got this great ministry at the prison. He goes, I'm right at the door of death, and I'm able to give him the gospel. Well, I had to kind of like give him a little, I'm older than you now. It's my neck, you can tell. I'm older than you. I said, I'm with these people, and they're right next to the door. I mean, they're closer to the door than they are. I was just kind of teaching them that. Just because you're a bad guy, that doesn't mean you're close to the door. You can be far away from that door. You know, the text mentions 70 years. Well, that's 25,550 days. Just listen for one moment. If you take away the first 5 years of a person's life, that is, you can't remember much. You may have broken your arm. Maybe you remember three things. Okay, I probably don't. If you're really smart, maybe you remember seven things. But not much. Let's take it away. Take away the first 5 years. You don't remember them. Take away the sleep time. That's one third. Like 8 hours, I guess. It's like about one third, right? You know how much that equals? 70 of your life? 20. It equals about 14, 15,000 days to live. Whole life. St. James talks about the idea of the vapor, but the point is 15,000 days. Now, if you're here tonight and you're 50, you have less than 1,000 Sabbath days left on the possibility of 70, because that's the average age. Even in time, in today, a person might live 77. That's, if you're under 77 tonight, then you're getting close to half of the people here would be dead. The average is 77. Half the people are going to die right at 77 or right before it, and the other half are going to live after 77. And there's one more juncture after that. And then there's another hurdle, but it's statistically true. If you're 60, you have like 500 Sabbath days, you know, we don't have very much time. If you're 65 and you live to 75, guess what? You have like 10 more Christmases. You know, we're talking about time now. And I want you to contemplate the fact of we're here for a short time, and the reality needs to be grasped. And that's what Moses is praying here. I mean, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to soon talk a little bit about how Jesus fits into this passage, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the eternal begotten Son of the living God with no beginning and no end. And yet he condescends and becomes flesh for a few short years. But we're talking about utilizing the time. So Lord, help me to know. So if we're going to give her a little interpretation here, Lord, help me to know to be very sensitive about the short little time I have here with the application. I think I waste too much time. Like the driving time, you know, that time could be used. I can't tell you how many hours in driving time you spend. I mean, there are numbers for all this stuff. How are you using your time in Christ to develop? You know, that's something practical. Are you using your time in a way that is pleasing to the Lord? Ephesians 5:15. See that you walk circumspectly. What is that? Surveying all possible consequences before you actually decide. Not as fools, walking circumspectly, not as fools, but redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the Lord of the will is, the will of the Lord is. Redeeming the time. So as Christian people, you have to ask yourself, how am I using my time? And am I using it in a way that's pleasing to the Lord? But people are so very covetous of their own time. I remember I needed help one time, and I called another minister. It's not a convenient time for me to help you. It's like, what? That's the mentality? Convenience? Time is set up for us oftentimes by what we our priorities, and our priorities are often set up by what's urgent, not what's important. And they're two different things. They're two very different things. Redeeming the time. There are three words related to redemption. Some are used in the context of a marketplace. There's a basic word that we use, lutro, which is kind of like if you're shackled, it's like to loose. It's the first word you learn to parse in elementary Greek. It's luo, lutro, whatever the parsing thing is. It's like the ABCs. To loose, to let free. The second word is an interesting one because it's agorazo, and it's the idea of the bondage, being set free, but out of bondage. And then the word here is ex agorazo, which, you know, yeah, that exit sign there, it's to purchase. And then it's to not only purchase and set free, but it's to actually, it includes the idea of becoming yours. So when time now is ex agorazo, teach me to, this one says, help me to redeem the time so that I get this portion of time. We all have the same, 24 hours. I get this deposit, 24. How am I going to use the 24? What percentage am I going to use for this and for this and for this? And we don't think about it. We use it all for me, oftentimes, myself. Even, you know, the family's important, of course. But again, we're thinking about our individual relationship to the Lord, and that's the first and foremost thing in our relationship. And James says in chapter 4, verse 14, even if I'm a vapor, here for a little time and then gone, and not boasting about tomorrow. 2 Peter 3:18, grow daily in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a time word, daily, grow daily. 2 Corinthians 6, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. They're time words, and it's calling for response. Psalm, I think it's 92, I can bear fruit in my old age. It's not like, well, you know, I really did the thing, and now I could sit back. It's not that. It's an important prayer that Moses is praying here. He's asking God to help him, to help the community, really, the people of God, to know what we have concerning time and for what purpose, just because he's going to be a good person who is a good custodian of the time. No, there's an actual end. You know, we as Judeo-Christian, philosophically, we view time differently than the rest of the world. Other systems, philosophical systems, view time, you know, sometimes it's like a loop. It's like, you know, you can go over and over and over again. And other times it's almost like reincarnation, where you you start again and then you end. And but our system in biblical time is a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's a beginning and an end. That's significant, and especially, you know, eschatologically, there's, you know, a definite end. You know, verse 11, and this is this maybe didn't come to your mind when I read it, but who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. You know who knows the power of his anger? Yeshua. Yeah, he's the only one that knows the power of his anger related to receiving the full wrath of the Father on our behalf as an atonement. He understands that. We can't understand that, but he's asking that we would come more into understanding the principles of the reconciliation. You know, Moses is the 40-40-40, you know that, right? The three 40s, everybody knows that. He was out there in the wilderness, you know, raised there in Egypt 40 years, 40 years in, I guess, Midian, and then 40 years in the wilderness. He was outside a lot, right? I mean, he's watching things bloom, coming and going, and he's using that terminology here, grass, withers. You know, it's all part of his thinking, but it's related to time, and to what end? Here it is, verse 12, it's the last part. Teach me to number my days that I may gain, or may apply, or we may apply our hearts. Two different translations. Gain a heart of wisdom that we might apply. What does it say here in verse 12? Apply our hearts unto wisdom. I'm quoting once from Kyle Dillage. He says, a wise heart is the fruit which one reaps or gathers in from such numbering of days. The gain which one carries off from so constantly reminding oneself of the end. That wasn't my quote. Coupled with the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Teach us the number of days that we apply our hearts to wisdom. So wisdom's factored in there. So that wise heart is going to be it's going to be constantly shaped by an awareness of God's presence, an awareness of the shortness, brevity of time, and the desire to use it more acceptably and positively in the life that God has given us. So when we're looking at this, we're thinking of some principles from verse number 12. The principles include some of the practical things. We could ask the Lord to give us a new perspective of time. And so that as we walk each day, we're using more of the time for the Lord Jesus Christ, for serving the Lord, for recognizing that we're in and walking in and through him, and that we're investing in one sense, and we're redeeming the time. There's a little poem by Richard, I don't know the fellow, but Pigou, I think it's a French name. He says, improve time in time while the time doth last, For all time is no time when the time is past. There's the concept there of the fact that it's an elusive thing. I often say to my wife or somebody else, you know, like, where did those years between like 50 and 60 go? Because, like, how am I, was it 2023? You got to be kidding. I think it's 1982. How's that? Well, how do you grasp that? You know, what have I invested in? What's in my bank? I'm not talking about my bank account. Oh, you can have all, you know, that, good for you if you have it, whatever. But there's another account that we're accruing. And it's that time, what you're doing with the time is, and it's not too late to use that time to say, you know, I'm going to use more time. I'm wasting a lot of time, you know, putting on socks. Okay, but let's add something to that. You know, all the stuff that you have to do, the older you get, I can't believe it. Look, I'm losing hair over here. It's because, you know, the whole body's corrupting. He uses dust in this text. And we say dust to dust, earth to earth, ashes to ashes. We are here a short time. And the Lord has given us His Spirit. We have the Spirit of the living God. We have the grace to walk in the newness of life. We have a new nature. We have the ability to say yes to the Lord and no to the old broken down nature, sinful nature. And we have all that we need. We have to start using it more efficiently. Hopefully, you're going to say, hey, you know, instead of turning on this, I think I'm going to turn on something else. Well, I can't wait to watch my show. I don't know if you do that. Like, you know, what show? I can't wait to get to Downton Abbey. Maybe that was wild. I don't know. Oh, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a nice time, but my point is, am I utilizing the time for the Lord Jesus? He's given that. He's my king. He reigns right here, and He wants that time. He loves. Just like you love to be with your grandchildren, you love that, right? He loves to be with His people in holy communion. This is a psalm about reconciliation. It's also a recognition that God is gracious and He is our God. So in that vein, let us see if we can add a little more. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. May God help us to utilize the time, to redeem it, and to bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ as we sojourn here for this short time. Our days are numbered. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for these few thoughts on this verse. We thank You that Jesus, our Savior, is the one who has redeemed our souls from hell, the one who has saved us from all eternity because of His great love and Your love, O Lord, that You sent Your only Son to love us, that You even condescended, subjected Yourself to the elements, and even to time and what that did. Lord, we thank You for Your word, and teach us to number our days that we may gain or apply our hearts unto wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.